Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, text number 32 and 33. Okay, we'll do the Sanskrit responsibly. Parikshitu vacha. Aho adya vayam brahman sat sevya shatrabandava kripaya titi rupena bhavadvistitaka krita parikshitavacha. Aho adya vayam brahman sat sevya shatrabandavaha kripaya titi rupena bhavadvistitaka krita parikshitavacha. Aho adya vayam brahman sat sevya shatrabandavaha kripaya titi rupena bhavadvistitaka krita. The fortunate King Parikshit said, "Aho, adya, today, vayam, we, Brahman, O Brahman, sat sevya." Eligible to serve the devotee, Kshatra, the ruling class, Bandava, friends, Kripaya, by your mercy, Atiti Rupena, in the manner of a guest, Bhavad Bhi, by your good self, Tirthaka, qualified for being places of pilgrimage, Krita, done by you. Translation. The fortunate King Parikshit said, O Brahmin, by your mercy only, you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotee. Please repeat. The fortunate King Parikshit said, O Brahmin,
by your mercy only,
you have sanctified us,
making us like unto places of pilgrimage,
all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotee.
That's amazing.
Purport. Saintly devotees like Sukadeva Goswami generally do not approach worldly enjoyers, especially those in royal orders. Maharaj Prataparudra was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, but when he wanted to see the Lord refused to see him because he was a king. For a devotee who desires to go back to Godhead, two things are strictly prohibited: worldly enjoyers and women. Therefore, devotees of the standard of Sukadeva Goswami are never interested in seeing kings. Maharaj Parikshit was, of course, a different case. He was a great devotee, although a king, and therefore Sukadeva Goswami came to see him in his last stage of life. Maharaj Parikshit, out of his devotional humility, felt himself an unworthy descendant of his great Kshatriya forefathers, although he was as great as his predecessors. The unworthy sons of the royal orders are called Kshatrabandhavas, as the unworthy sons of the Brahmins are called Dvijabandhus or Brahmabandhus. Maharaj Parikshit was greatly encouraged by the presence of Sukadeva Goswami. He felt himself sanctified by the presence of the great saint whose presence turns any place into a place of pilgrimage. So I'm supposed to do another verse. Text number 33. I'll just say the Sanskrit myself. Sadhya Sudyanti Abhaigriha Kampu Nadashana Sparsha Padasocha Sanadibi Yesham, of whom Samsmaranat, by remembrance, Pumsam, of a person, Sadhya, instantly, Shudyanti, cleanses, by, certainly, Griha, all houses, Kim, what? Puna, then, Dashana, meeting, Sparsha, touching, part of the feet, Shocha, washing, asana adibi, by offering a seat, etc. Translation. Simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home. Purport. The importance of holy places of pilgrimage is due to the presence of great sages and saints. It is said that sinful persons go to the holy places and leave their sins there to accumulate. But the presence of the great saints disinfects the accumulated sins, and thus the holy places continue to remain sanctified by the grace of the devotees and saintly present there, and saints present there. If such saints appear in the homes of worldly people, certainly the accumulated sins of such worldly enjoyers become neutralized. Therefore, the holy saints actually have no self-interest with the householders. The only aim of such saints is to sanctify the homes of the householders. And the householders, therefore, should feel grateful when such saints and sages appear at their doors. A householder who dishonors such holy orders is a great offender. It is enjoined, therefore, that a householder who does not bow down before a saint at once must undergo fasting for the day in order to neutralize the great offense. Srila Prabhupada Hare Krishna. So there's two important verses and glorifying the devotees. So the devotees are so important in this world that associating with devotees, the greatest benefit for anybody. So therefore, unfortunately, this isn't really a known fact in America or in the Western world that associating with devotees is a very important activity. But in India, at least to some degree, it's understood that devotees are special people and that to associate with devotees is very important. So therefore, when Srila Prabhupada went to India with his first disciples, I don't know when it was, maybe 70, 71, they got a great reception, and many wealthy Indian people, cultured people, they gave the devotees a great reception, they looked after them, they fed them, they cooked for them, they had them in their home. And even one devotee, one host of the devotees, I can't remember his name, but at the end of their stay, they'd been there like 10 or 15 devotees, maybe more. Families cooked for them, they'd be staying in their home. They fed them, they personally served them, everything. And then at the end, he said, "Please forgive me if I've committed any offenses." So that is, because actually the devotees are very dear to Krishna. So in the ninth canto, we have the story of Ambarish Maharaj, which really magnifies the position of a devotee in the mind of Krishna, and how Krishna, the devotees are so dear to Krishna. So this passage I'm going to read here, where Devasa Muni, most of us know the story, but he had offended Ambarish Maharaj, even though Ambarish Maharaj was not offended, but he had created a demon to attack him because he drank water. And he had to break the akadi, so he just drank water, he didn't eat anything. So he got so upset by that, and he created this demon to attack Ambarish Maharaj, and then the Sudarshan Chakra attacked him, killed the demon he created and chased after him, and it went all over the creation. And nobody, he couldn't find any shelter anywhere, he was petrified. And then he ended up at the abode of Vishnu, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. O best of the Brahmins, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control." Wow. Krishna is controlled by devotees. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. O Brahmin, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. So, anyway, that's how devotees are so dear to the Lord. And then there's another nice verse in the fourth canto, chapter 19, verse 12. Tene smaranti atitaram priyam isha martyam. O Lord, who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, he is never attached to this material body, or in a bodily relationship to offspring, home, wealth, wives, which are very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. So that's a devotee. It's not so easy to be a devotee. To be the constant theme is to be unattached. Of course, we're not trying to be just unattached. We're trying to become attached to Krishna. But the way you become unattached is becoming attached to Krishna. So it's just like when children have toys, you know, they're attached to their toys, and when they grow up, you know, they don't really want to play with their toys anymore. So when a devotee grows up in spiritual life, then all the paraphernalia for material enjoyment is not worth the trouble. You can't be bothered to go out and make money, although, you know, you might have to make a little bit, but it's a bit of a hassle. You know, you can't be bothered to get a fancy house. It's too much of a hassle to clean it. You know, there's a lot of things that are hassle. You get very lazy for all that kind of stuff, because you have to keep cleaning all that. Anyway, so there's another verse in the fifth canto, chapter 18, which the residents of Jambadvip, they're praying, "My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life consisting of home, wife, children, friendship, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna." So, in the tenth canto, there's a verse which is a verse spoken by Nanda Maharaj, actually, after Putana had tried to kill Krishna. So that verse is, because they were worried about Krishna, they didn't realize, or they were covered by Yogamaya, that Krishna could never be killed or harmed. So this, you know, they bathed Krishna in cow dung, actually, and they got in cow urine. And they got the dust from the cows and they smeared it on his body, Krishna's body. And they, in that verse, it's a double verse, it talks about how then Nanda Maharaj fed the Brahmins. And he said this was the most important part of the verse, that feeding the Brahmins with nice food. So he said that nice food means grains and milk products. So you have to have milk products. So cows are very important. But the point is, he said that Yesu Yamrita Dambush Himsamani Vibhajata, where Brahmins are free from envy and detached from material things, the blessings never go in vain. So then the purport, Prabhupada said that the world needs a class of Brahmins that can give their blessings to everybody. Because without the blessings of the Brahmins, people get no benefit. So therefore, Brahmins' business is to give their blessings to people. It might seem like puffed up to think you're worthy to give your blessings to somebody, but at the same time, because you have some understanding of Vedic culture, you can understand that just by constant chanting Hare Krishna and practicing Bhakti Yoga, then you automatically accrue some pious credits. And in the material world, who has that? Not many people. If we look at society, most people are very ignorant about what life is all about, or even that God exists. What to speak of? I mean, some people believe in God, but what is their idea of God? So devotees are so rare, so it's our duty to try to become qualified to give people blessings, because without our blessings, what is the benefit of living in, what is the benefit of having a human body? What is the benefit of being in this world unless people can get some blessings? So we have this duty to try to become qualified to give people's blessings. Anyway, so devotees are very rare, and I was thinking about the devotees in Ukraine because it's a topic right now. Ukraine, it's very heartbreaking, really, but I guess there's some karma involved. There seems to be some heavy karma in Ukraine, Russia, that part of the world. I've been there a few times, and the devotees are very nice. If some of you may have been to Ukraine or Russia, we know that the biggest festival in the world happens in Ukraine, when they had the Sadhu Sangha festival, maybe 15,000 devotees would go to that. It's not that big of a country, 40 million people. America has like 350 million. Biggest festival we have is like, you know, maybe 2,000 people, very rarely, maybe 1,200, 1,500. Ukraine, 40 million people. So 15,000 people go to the festival, and you know, they're very hospitable there, same as Russia. But Ukraine has more devotees per capita than Russia, and so they're very generous people. And this one devotee, Achyuta Priya, he's like the regional secretary for Ukraine. He's a wonderful devotee. He was there ever since before Glasnost. Achyuta Priya, you know Achyuta Priya? He's a wonderful devotee, very unassuming, humble devotee. He's a Grihastha. So he was involved in the distribution of Prabhupada's books when it was dangerous to do that. And so he has been working closely with Naranjan Swami for many years. And, you know, he's not an initiating guru. He has a lot of responsibility because they have a very progressive and well-established counselor system. And so he's, you know, he's not a guru, but he's been assisting Naranjan Swami, who's got a lot of disciples there. And, you know, he doesn't want any glorification or reward. He's just satisfied doing Krishna's service like that. So devotees are very important in this world. Without devotees, this world has no real value, because Krishna, he descends to the material world occasionally, but really he's not here most of the time. Most of the time, I mean, if you think he just appears once in every day of Brahma, it's not very often, is it? It's pretty rare. But he gives the knowledge by which we can become enlightened, by which we can go back to Godhead, but he leaves it to his devotees. So the devotees are very important, and therefore the devotees are like holy places. And so Krishna himself, I even said this at the last class I gave, he's running after devotees to get the dust of the lotus feet and to get their blessings. So Krishna himself, he's following the devotees to get the dust. But by him following the devotees, inconceivably, the wind blows the dust from his feet and it goes on the devotees' heads. So when it's a very reciprocal, everything in spiritual life is reciprocal, that Krishna rewards his devotees with love. That's really the only reward that we want to get, is to develop love for Krishna, to give love. And so without becoming attached to Krishna, we can't really give love. So the whole process of devotional service is to give love and to see the material world for what it really is. The material world is, you know, we have a battle in Ukraine right now, but the whole material world is a battlefield. In the Bhumi Gita, in the 12th canto, Bhumi is saying that all these great kings, she even mentions Bharat Maharaj and many exalted people, but then she talks about some demoniac kings, but you know, they're all temporary, they come and go. And many powerful dynasties arise and disappear. And so Bhumi, she has to bear the weight of all this fighting and hatred and envy. So devotees, you know, they see Bhumi as their mother. They hate to see the mother being abused in any way. So devotees should feel compelled to try to rectify the situation by preaching, because preaching is what Krishna consciousness is really all about, that you can't really make a lot of advancement without being engaged in the preaching mission. And so there are many ways you can preach. If you can't distribute books or give a lecture, you can make cookies, you can... I know a lot of devotees here engaged in preaching just by having the deities. I know in Hungary they have devotees I don't know about now because of COVID, but they would welcome the guests and they would speak to them and they would bring them before the deities. And that was their preaching. And sometimes the people, they would be so affected by seeing the deities that they could never forget the beautiful form of Krishna or Radhe Shyam, the deities are called the same as here. They could never forget. So I think there was a little booklet that Shiva Ramraj put out about people's being affected by having seen the deities in Hungary. So that that's also important preaching, to dress the deities very beautifully and to paint beautiful pictures of Krishna, to make him so attractive. Of course, you know, in the material world there's so many artists, so many famous people, like what's his name? He cut his ear off. What was his name? He's very famous. His paintings go for millions of dollars. But what's the value? He was crazy. He cut his ear off because he fell in love. What was it? Van Gogh. Yeah, of course, Van Gogh. Yeah. I used to study. I forgot the name. And then you have Gauguin. Gauguin was, you find a picture done by Gauguin worth millions of dollars. But what did he do? He was a banker. He gave up banking. He was French. And he went to Tahiti, which is some island in the Pacific Ocean or somewhere. And he fell in love with a Tahitian woman and had lots of love with her. But, you know, he painted Tahitian woman with no clothes on, and he's painting himself. So, you know, so the paint pictures of Krishna, so devotees are so important because they can attract people to Krishna. So, you know, Pushkar Prabhu's paintings are beautiful. So he's attracting people to Krishna. So we have to devise a way that we can be engaged in attracting people to Krishna, whatever way it is. Cook nice prasadam, or sing beautifully, keep the temple beautifully clean. Even in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, the residents are cleaning the walls of the temple, which are already sparkling clean. Prabhupada said, revolutionary clean. So, anyway, we have this opportunity to try to become devotees. And it's really what the world needs. And if we take it seriously and we follow the process, we can make a big change in the world. The world really needs it. And who knows what will happen out of this war. Maybe there'll be an atomic war, who knows? Atomic war? Not yet. Is it? Anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll see where it leads. But we have Krishna, and we have the holy name, and therefore we are very fortunate. So I'll finish here. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments, reflections?
Yeah. Concept of bhakti,
bhakti.
We understand that it is the perfection of love. So then naturally we try and understand how to love, how to develop love, how to understand love, and we try and apply these principles of bhakti in our loving exchanges. But you mentioned something today that brought up a question, and that is that in our day-to-day exchanges, we try to love without attachment, because we understand if we're attached, then that affects the purity of that love. But when we're talking about interacting with Krishna, developing love with Krishna, the key is to become attached, and then the love can manifest. So what is that difference, that when we're interacting with each other, even with other devotees, that that love should be without attachment, but when we're interacting with Krishna, then the attachment must come so that the love can be pure.
That's a very good question. I'm the wrong person to ask, honestly speaking. I'm too selfish. I don't have a lot of love. But yes, you know, we're supposed to love the devotees, and I could say I love Srila Prabhupada because, you know, he saved me from material life, and, you know, I love the devotees because I love Krishna. Some devotees, you know, they get on my nerves sometimes, you know. But because they're devotees, you know, I try to get along with them. And because I love Prabhupada, I try to cooperate with his movement. Because, you know, without cooperating with Prabhupada's movement, how do you show your love? So even if you don't have a lot of love, you try to act in the proper way. And I could say, you know, I love Shiva Ram Swami because I feel that he has helped me so much in my spiritual life through his writings and through his example. I love Indrajumna Maharaj because, you know, he's always blissful and he's putting on festivals and everything else. I mean, you love different devotees for different things. But in general, you know, I love devotees because I love Krishna, and I know that Krishna loves devotees. So I'm duty bound to love devotees, even if sometimes, you know, they annoy me or something. You know, I try to overlook it. Well, but at least I don't strangle him or something. I try, you know, I try my hardest to control myself. I love devotees, especially if they're good cooks. Okay. Sorry, I don't have much left.
Love in our ordinary, this is just a thought. Ordinary dealings, you know, it's usually, we're kind of immersed in conditional life for the most part. So when we think of love in ordinary dealings, it's often there's a lot of baggage there with concern to the love of Krishna principle. So, to be detached from all that conditional stuff so the actual real love can come through. And then with Krishna, you know, it's already this esoteric principle. You know, intellectually, so, you know, it's a little different. But also, gosh darn it, whatever you got, if you direct it to Krishna, it's going to get purified. I mean, he's the man, you know. So that's something to consider too, perhaps. Yeah.
We have the opportunity to love, but really to develop the kind of love that we need to develop for Krishna, where, you know, we're manifesting the symptoms of love, and, you know, we really are able to give up our material attachments because we're feeling so much happiness within and so much love within. That takes time. We have to get the blessings of Krishna and the devotees, and therefore that's why the devotees' blessings are magnified over and over again, that getting the blessings of the devotees is so important.
Yeah, that's just, we have to clarify, I think, one thing is that, what is love? As Chaitanya Charitamrita Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mentions that Atmandriya Kriti Vancha Taranam Kam, that if you have some desire for your own gratification, if you're, that's just lust. I mean, the love that we generally see, like in the material world, they call that love. But actually, the devotees, they don't classify that as love. That's just lust for your own sense, your own gratification. But you want to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So that is the definition that is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami gives for love. So Krishna wants that we should love everyone. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amanina manadina, that you give respects to everyone. See, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, in relationship with Krishna. So should, by Krishna consciousness, you develop that standard of actual love. So that is like all-inclusive. That's why Srila Prabhupada was, when he traveled all over the world, everyone just loved him because he loved Krishna. And true, he saw everyone in that relationship with that.
Do you love cockroaches?
Huh?
I said, do you love cockroaches?
Yes.
You do? I don't like cockroaches.
Thank you. I think that this point of defining love brought up something else, and that is defining attachment. And then we could see, because we understand that becoming attached to Krishna is the key, and becoming attached to his devotees is also the key.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we constantly speak of becoming detached, and sometimes this may be seen in two different ways, but if we understand the principle of the basis of that attachment, if we are attached to something with us as the center, we are the adhered to, and they are the adhering, then we are the egocentric point of this attachment. Mm-hmm. But if we see ourselves as our only chances to be attached to them, whether it be our family, our children, our community, our God brothers, God sisters, or Guru Maharaj, we understand we want to be attached to them as we are the ones being attached. Mm-hmm. To the substance, then that is the attachment from the right consciousness, and will ultimately bring a prema or bhakti development.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. I have a long way to go. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
We're going to have, I think, two different or possibly more celebrations. Thank you.